This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to the Steve Carino Show on placetobenation.com. Now, here's your host, the king of old school, Steve Carino.
This is another edition of the Steve Carino Show. Welcome. I'm your host, Steve Carino. Hey, you know this by now. This is the 15th episode. The Steve Carino Show is brought to you every week free of charge through the Place to Be Nation. But if you want to contribute, and you should be, because I don't want to be doing this for free, head on over to ProWrestlingTees.com/Steve Carino and get one of the four Carino-inspired t-shirts. There's my Steve Carino King of Old School 20th Anniversary shirt, a Mr. Wrestling 3 shirt that looks freaking awesome, Premier Wrestling Federation t-shirt with the turtle logo, which I'll get into a little bit later, an American Tiger who had lost his PWF Junior Heavyweight title on Sunday and won it back on Monday. How about that for the kid? He's got a shirt up at the moment. Also, Allison Danger, former guest on the Steve Carino Show and Shimmer star, is making gear now. Hey, do you want to look like a star? Of course you freaking do. Then you need Danger Designs. Email her your stuff at allidanger@aol.com. That's allidanger@aol.com. Yeah, shake your head. She's still got AOL. On tonight's show, we got Ricky Landell. And if you don't know who Ricky Landell is, he is one of my old trainees and a guy that's got like a fun story about how he got started in professional wrestling, his climb, and how he only wrestles part-time now because the guy's like a real successful businessman outside of wrestling. As you can hear, I have my little co-host for tonight, little Beckham, baby Monster C. You can hear him. Somebody took a long nap this afternoon and decided that he wanted to stay up and do the Steve Carino Show with his daddy. As you can hear it. Also got my main man, Dan McGinn, is in the house. Dan, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. I see you're in daddy daycare for this episode.
I am, and he's making noises and smiling the whole time because he wants to be heard. He plays with his monkey. I think he's screaming because he knows, as a baseball fan, our team, the Philadelphia Phillies, really basically shit the bed this time.
Well, I can't honestly say I'm surprised. We kind of alluded to this last week with the Phils. It didn't seem like they wanted to pull the trigger on anything, and sure enough, they did not. I heard there was a rumor that Marlon Byrd was on his way to the New York Yankees, and it turned out to be a hoax, an internet hoax. So that was probably the closest thing we got to action, I believe. But yeah, it was a much different story up here in New England.
It was, you know, but I think the Boston Red Sox got, you know, a lot of good stuff, you know, getting Cespedes from the Oakland A's for John Lester, who's basically a rental player for a couple months and has already said that he would like to go back to the Boston Red Sox. You know, unfortunately, Alan Craig comes over to the Red Sox and gets hurt right away. But, you know, they got their pieces, I think, for 2015 and, you know, we'll do okay. But the Phillies, on the other hand, did absolutely nothing. Jack shit, in fact. You know, I had heard the rumor that Marlon Byrd could go to the Cincinnati Reds, and that didn't happen. Then, you know, we were hearing that maybe Cole Hamels to the Dodgers, and that didn't happen. And the day after the trade deadline, who goes on the DL? Cliff Lee. So you could have gotten rid of Cliff Lee. He could have been someone else's problem. But nope. Unfortunately, just sat there and did absolutely nothing. It was absolutely crazy. A lot of good winners, though. The Detroit Tigers getting David Price. The Oakland A's getting Lester. Besides getting Samardzija and Hamill. You know, it really became a slow up until the point of the trade deadline day. It was slow. I'm thinking, man, there's not going to be anything. We had talked we had talked about it last week on the podcast on a Tuesday, or I'm sorry, on a Wednesday night, thinking like, oh, nothing's going to happen by Friday. And we were definitely wrong. For you being a Red Sox fan, Dan, what is your assessment of what the Sox did?
Well, it's odd because, as I said last week, it's very weird thinking about a scenario in which a team can trade 4/5 of their starting rotation from the World Series the fall before. But you knew the moves had to be made. What really surprised us all up here was the fact that they got so much as far as not just major league ready people to insert into the lineup for this year and into next, but also some of the prospects that they got were ranked fairly high for those organizations that dealt them. The two guys that came from San Francisco and the JPV deal were both at the AAA level, one of which was kind of a high ranked left-hander in their organization and in all of baseball. The guy that they got in the Andrew Miller trade from AA was Baltimore's number two prospect entering the season. So even though they did get a lot of established guys, it's certainly the Cespedes deal is the most sexy of all of them. You get guys like Joe Kelly, who's still fairly young and could be put into the rotation right now, where he's kind of lost in the shuffle with the Cardinals. Yeah, Craig got hurt. But it looks as though they are not just trying to unload some names and some money. They were also able to build for the future. And I don't think they're going to get much higher than fourth place. I'm not saying that this is going to rejuvenate the team, but I could see myself falling for a lineup that includes Ortiz, Cespedes, and Napoli in the middle and being okay with it. Now the question is, who's going to pitch for you?
Well, I think it's going to be a great offseason for them because they always have money. So, you know, you don't have to worry about them going cheap with stuff. I could see them getting Lester back. Hopefully, you know, they don't screw him like they were, you know, with those awful, awful offers that they sent him before the season started. I think there's going to be a lot of stuff that they can do in the winter. I like their farm system. I Victorino will be back after the back surgery. Craig will be healthy. And Cespedes, he is just going to hit bombs in Fenway Park. And I think Boston's going to like this guy. You know, he's not Yasiel Puig, who, will be a pain in the ass a little bit and show off. But he is a great player. His contract's up in 2015. The A's knew they weren't going to sign him. But I definitely think the Red Sox can keep him. So it's going to be good. Looking at, you know, today being, you know, a Tuesday night, you know, we'll drop this on Friday. It is – the standings look absolutely great. You know, we got – a lot of good races going on. You know, the NL East, you got Washington, Atlanta. It just seems like Atlanta doesn't want to win. They've lost six in a row as of Tuesday night. The Phillies being 14 under 500 are still only 12 out, which is absolutely crazy. In the Central, Milwaukee 61 and 51. They're a game up on the Cardinals and a game and a half up on the Pirates. And Dan, I don't know if you saw it, but just the pure evil heelness of the Arizona Diamondbacks hitting Andrew McCutchen in the ribs, breaking a rib. Now he's out for at least 2 weeks. You know, they may put him on the DL. And think about that, because they hit him on purpose in an 8-1 game, this could hurt the Pittsburgh Pirates from getting into the playoffs.
Oh, no question about it. I mean, he's the guy who's the reigning MVP in the National League. This is a guy that has meant so much to this organization, both on and off the field. He's their lightning rod. And it's a gutless maneuver. I've always, you know, it's funny because I have family out in Arizona, and we used to joke that the Diamondbacks were our adopted National League team. But, I mean, with all their kind of screwiness with their unwritten rules, and that, you know, they got all bent out of shape last season with the Dodgers, and now coming back here and you know, taking out one of your best the best players, one of your best, more marketable guys in all of the game like that. It was just gutless. It was just an awful, awful thing. It's something that really needs to, whether it's Bud or somebody else, the new commissioner down the road, these sorts of tactics need to be out of the game completely. And, you know, it's amazing that a team that right now is 12 games, at when we record, 12 games under 500 at home this
right,
season.
At home.
13 and a half games out, you know, not even playing close to 500 baseball, they can really dictate and really make a scene and really make change and all kinds of stuff. How this team could make an impact in a playoff race is beyond me. And here they are sitting there really sticking it to the Pirates just now.
Yeah, and for no reason. You know, Paul Goldschmidt gets hit in the hand, and he even says it in the post-game interview. Man, I know he didn't hit me on purpose. There was no intent. Didn't look like intent. The situation didn't call for it. And then Arizona once again got back at them. And we saw what happened where they were poor sports with the Dodgers last year. But, you know, we're looking at 112 games that they've played. So we got 50 left. You know they're going to have to play the Dodgers, the Giants, probably the Brewers, probably the Nationals. You know, are these guys going to be the assholes that take everybody out? You know, and I definitely think it's a problem, and it should come from the top. Kirk Gibson, he knows these guys are going to throw, and he's not, you know, he's going on the denial. Oh, no, I didn't do that. It's just one of those things where, you know, there's got to be some responsibility here. And when there's not, now you're going to have anarchy in the greatest game of all time. So they got to get their shit together. I think Kirk Gibson needs to be fired, fined, suspended. The pitcher, I think the pitcher should be out as long as Andrew McCutchen is. You know, maybe that'll be teach him. Like, oh, shit, maybe I shouldn't, you know. There should be a committee, you know, not just Torrey and Bob Watson and stuff like that. There should definitely be a committee that says, okay, what is appropriate for retaliation, what isn't, and you know, it should be a case by case thing to see who, you know, who ends up getting suspended and fined and stuff like that.
Well, I think it's ridiculous, too, when it comes to pitchers, because they get these supposed 10-game suspensions, but it's not like it's a 10-start suspension. It's basically, you know, for the next 10 days, you can't play. Well, I was probably only going to play one, if not two, of those games anyway, or maybe I take an extra bullpen session, and maybe they skip my spot in the rotation. There's so many loopholes there that it's like, well, what is a suspension for a pitcher anyway? And if he's like kind of a middle-of-the-road guy or kind of quadruple A guy, well, you know, he probably will just get sent back down to the minors anyway. So I think, yeah, absolutely right. Better legislation in cases like this needs to be addressed. And again, whether it's Bud on his way out the door or the next commissioner, that this is something that really has to be dealt with.
Absolutely. It's going to drive me to drink. I mean, I'm having a beer now, and apparently this past weekend you drank something that looked disgusting. When you sent me the picture, it looked absolutely disgusting. And if I'm right, it's cinnamon roll vodka? Is that what we're talking about on this one?
Let me just start by saying that if this is becoming my gimmick, I might want to change it right away. You know, kind of like Father Ferguson. I really hope that I get written off from that particular angle, even if I have to be the Bastion Booger for a little bit. But if this is my gimmick of drinking weird stuff on weekends, I might need to turn this one in. But so I was sitting around on my Sunday. I had gone into Boston on Friday. It was a great time and got a chance to celebrate my father's birthday on Saturday. So it was a really fun, jam-packed weekend. And then I was sitting around doing nothing, and all of a sudden my friends call and say, hey, it's so-and-so's birthday, you know, a mutual friend of a friend, it's her birthday. We're all sitting on the deck having a few drinks, and they were drinking primarily like this jungle juice-like stuff, and I was like, sure, I'll hang out with you guys for a little bit. And of course, you know, you drink something exotic and weird, and then next thing you know, someone goes, hey, let's do shots. So anyway, for those that don't know, I am of legal drinking age. Some people like Kevin Kelly think I'm like 18, but it's not true. Anyway, I say that all to say this. I was handed a shot of, I have a picture on my Twitter, at dmcg4881. It's called Pinnacle Cinnabon Cinnamon Roll Vodka. It's from France. And I tried just doing this, and again, this is probably my own undoing, Steve, but I tried doing this just sipping, and it was rancid. It was absolutely torture to drink.
It tastes like a cinnamon roll gone bad, or...
It's like cinnamon roll followed by a sharp pain and then death feeling is what it tastes like.
Right.
You know. So I'm trying to sip it and it's awful. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, it's primarily women at this party. It's like, oh my gosh, I am going to vomit all over this poor lady's porch right now. So then someone goes, why don't you just take it like a shot? And of course, being the idiot that I've been, you know, because all afternoon I've been having a few cold ones. I'm like, yeah, sure, why not? And oh my gosh, the burn. I could still feel the burn right now. It's been 8 days, and I still feel the burn. It's just awful.
Now, were you trying to pick up any of these ladies at the time, or were you cool? Like, oh, wow, the ladies want me to try this cinnamon roll shot, and, you know, it's going to be sexy time after this.
I wish. It was, you know, it was funny because I generally don't partake of those sorts of spirits on a work night. It was just one of those things, you know, you're sitting around, it's a nice summer Sunday, it's, you know, the capper of a great weekend, and there was talk about maybe a little fix-up action going on, not necessarily with the people at this party, but, you know, that I'm not gonna, you know, I don't kiss and tell, but yeah, certainly if you saw me after I took this shot, there was no bedside manner after that. Like, I didn't get sick, but man, I wanted to.
Now, what kind of drunk are you, Dan? Are you like a, you know, a fun drunk? Are you pissy? Do you you like the party? You start singing? You start picking up any girl over 700 pounds? What do you do?
I'm kind of a happy-go-lucky. I you know, laugh a lot. I probably talk a lot more. I think I'm the smartest person in the room, but not like in an egotistical sort of way. I just, you know, oh man, you know, like,
more like the Boston type of way.
Right, you know, and like, man, you know, man, life is so good, man. Sometimes I hit a wall, I'll admit that. Sometimes, you know, you drink the wrong combination of stuff and you get a little moody, but, you know, I try to keep it loose, try to keep it carefree, you know. You know, certainly if we ever hang out and you pass me a Mickey U, you know, it'll be a good time. If you pass me something that says cinnamon roll vodka, then we might have some problems.
Ugh. Yeah. You know, I love beer. I like to, you know, especially after a show, I love a good, you know, good beer at the bar or right after a match. You know, I'm hot and I'm sweaty and blown up. And so... You know, I like a beer, but when the shots start getting passed around, oh, no way, because soon I can't stop. You know, I'll be okay for a little bit, but then it's, you know, then it's bad. And then eventually it's, I better throw up. So I try not to get like that. I like to have my couple beers, you know, have fun, talk to the boys. And go from there. And that's what I did this past weekend. I just got done a 5-day loop, which is very rare for an independent. You know, you're usually a weekend warrior, Friday, Saturday, sometimes Sunday, the occasional Thursday. But this one started last week. It was Thursday at the Wisconsin State Fair, which was interesting to say the least. It was more like a convention of shit. You know, I don't know if you can go on the website for the Wisconsin State Fair, but like it just seemed like everybody was selling something and none of it was something I would get. There was no free samples. You know, these guys had these vegetable trays, but nothing was free. And the wrestling was good. Wrestled Greg the Hammer Valentine in a match that, you know. Then Friday night I was in Green Bay, and what was cool was I was with Rhino and American Tiger and Adam Pearce all weekend, which it just made it fun, a bunch of good brothers. Saturday we were in Fox Lake, Illinois, which was attached to a bar. I guess it was a Knights of Columbus, and I always like a good Knights of Columbus or a VFW show because the beer, it's cheap, and it's right next to the building, so you don't have to go far. And
I love that, you know, I got to hang out and, you know, have a couple beers with the boys. Then Sunday, it was to these
carnival shows in Cicero, Illinois, which is right outside Chicago. Basically, it's Chicago. I could tell from the crime, it's definitely Chicago. And I was telling Dan on Sunday night, I'm sitting there, and, you know, I'm getting my heat, and, you know, the Cubs stink, and Jesus Christ could manage them, and they'll never win a World Series. There are a lot of Cubs fans in the house. So afterwards, this father and son walk up to me, and they say, "Oh, Steve, can we have your autograph? You know, we've been big fans for years." And I'm like, "All right." So I ask the kid, I go, "What's your name, buddy?" And he goes, "Oh, I'm Marcus." I go, "Okay, Marcus, I go, "You're a big Cubs fan?" He's like, "I am." He's like, "You shouldn't talk bad about him." But he was laughing. I go, "Marcus, let me tell you a story." I go, "I grew up a Phillies and Cubs fan." I go, "Ryan Sandberg is my hero." I go, "And for 29 years, I've sent him a birthday card." He goes, "That's so cool." I go, "Yeah." He's never written back. And his head just drops. I go, "Huh, thought that story was going to end on a good note, didn't it?" And he's like, "Yes, sir." I go, "Hey, not everything's freaking flowers out there." And I give him the picture and I walk away. And Tiger goes, "Wow, that was awful. You broke that kid's heart. He thought he was getting a good story and you were a total asshole to him." I didn't mean to be an asshole. I was just frustrated that, you know, 29 years of this stuff that's been going on, and Sandberg doesn't give me the time of day, and, you know. But next month's his birthday. It's going to be number 30 that I'm sending, so.
Oh, this is the big milestone.
Yeah, I'm going to ask him if he wants to be on the podcast.
That would, you know, as great as Greg Valentine was, and if you haven't listened to that yet, by all means do so. Ryan Sandberg, that would be phenomenal. I know that one guy who doesn't like us talking baseball won't listen, but I think a lot of other people who wouldn't normally listen would listen to that show.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Hey, talking about the Greg Valentine show and how good it was last week, Dan, tell these people that didn't listen to the Greg Valentine show where they can find the Steve Carino show.
Well, you all can find the Steve Carino Show in any of the following ways: by visiting placetobenation.com, of course, and clicking on that beautiful Steve Carino Show banner, or the PTBN podcast banner on the right-hand side. See all the other shows as well, or listen to them, because that's what a podcast is, after all. In addition, just by subscribing to the Place to Be podcast feed on your iTunes, you will automatically receive the latest episodes of the Steve Carino Show. You can also visit Stitcher.com and subscribe to the Place to Be podcast, or download the Place to Be Nation podcast app by hitting up placetobe.podbean.com/mobile on your iPhone or iPad devices. I have it. It looks pretty cool. Anyway, be sure to also follow us on Twitter. It's at Steve Carino Show. It's at placetobenation. And like us on Facebook at facebook.com/placetobenation. Finally, if you have questions for our final segment, spoiler alert, it is loaded today. If you have questions for the final segment, suggestions, maybe some love for the two of us, email us at stevecarinoshow@placetobenation.com, stevecarinoshow@gmail.com, or tweet up at us at Steve Carino Show. Steve.
Man, always fun. Hey, when we come back, we're going to have Ricky Landell on. You're going to enjoy this little talk that we're going to have with him, see how he really grew up in wrestling. It's going to be fun. And also, I'm trying to figure out how the hell I have an iPhone 4, and for some reason, the flashlight came on. I didn't even know I had a freaking flashlight. So I'll be working on that during the commercial break. Hey, you're listening to the Steve Carino Show. Not just my spare tire, the Lord I ask
you to be my guide and force the truth. What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out The Kevin Kelly Show each and every week. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today. Plus, be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here, placetobenation.com.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at placetobenation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials one and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on placetobenation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Greetings, friends. Ben Morse from Place to Be Nation's Main Event here. Tired of other podcasts constantly stuck in the past? Every other week, we give you a roundtable discussion of what's happening in wrestling today. Place to Be Nation's Main Event. We're holding everybody else down.
Looking for something different in your pro wrestling podcast? Look no further than the Pro Wrestling Super Show. Join me, Stephen Graham, every week as I'm joined by a rotating door of guests as we discuss a single topic each show, ranging from ECW pay-per-view reviews, wrestler snapshots, top six lists, and anything else you can think of. That's the Pro Wrestling Super Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans of Wrestling... Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans of Wrestling are...
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for a show and breakdown matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Bob. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling.
You know you want to hear it.
On this week's edition of the Steve Carino Show, my guest this week, and you know, we've had some great ones. This is episode 15. We've never let anybody down. Even on the lost episode, you had Mr. Wrestling Great and a returning Matt Hardy. Apparently, I wasn't there for it. But this week, this guy near and dear to my heart. I have known him since he was, I guess, almost basically a teenager, and not in the weird like Jerry Lawler type way. And he had started off in PWF as like a web designer and putting up the ring and eventually trained and wrestled. And he's done pretty good for himself. Ricky Landell's joining us this week. Ricky, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I am fat, very fat.
Well, me too. So
I'm coming off a 5-day tour. I had Frankie DeFalco at the Milwaukee State Fair, and then bunch of other shows 5 days in a row, and it was fun though.
I thought you were gonna say you're coming off a tour of Italy over at Olive Garden. That was the last tour I was on.
I did Hooters pretty good last night. Man,
Frankie DeFalco, how's Frankie doing?
He's doing good. He got a new hip.
Oh,
still limping around.
Is he still working?
No, he retired last year. But the shows have been pretty good. He's been drawing great for Rue City Wrestling. Hey, I want to know, how did you get interested in professional wrestling? Because you weren't always a fan. Am I right?
Yeah, I was. I mean, I think like most people, I was a fan. But I think I was a fan of things maybe a little different than most people are used to. I mean, at least certainly from the East Coast, you know, where you're from. When I was a kid, at that time I was probably about 5 years old. I guess like most people, 5-6 years old. And I'm sure you remember the video stores you could rent videos of wrestling, which is been gone for a long time, man. But the cool thing was obviously I was living in upstate New York at the time when I was a kid, when I was real little, and you know, Vince was the big deal, WWF. But we could rent these videos that were, NWA or AWA, which was really cool to me. You look back now and some of it was just god awful, but it seemed cool at the time. And, obviously I became a big fan of Nick Bockwinkel and guys like that.
Now, with you watching different organizations than, like, say, your friends and stuff like that, do you think that was what turned you on to different products? Is like, you know what, my friends are WWF fans, and you know, I'm seeing all these different areas, and you become more enlightened to, well, there's more to wrestling and life than what's in New York.
Yeah, I mean, it was really hard because I didn't, at that age, you don't really understand. You're sort of told just by what's around you that there's like only one product, you know, it's WWF. Then you see these tapes that are sitting on these shelves in the video store, and you go, what is this? It took a long time for me to grasp that there was actually more than one company out there and more than one company that actually mattered. That's kind of how I became. I guess I got a taste of different things, different styles, different products just through the video stores, a video renting process, which was pretty cool. And years later, I actually, you know, kind of came together and made me realize what the hell was going on there. And, you know, obviously the story, there's plenty of stories out there.
Now, when did you decide, like, man, I want to be a professional wrestler? Because you took more of the old school traditional route, like working your way from the bottom, but in more of a high tech way. And we'll go into that in a second. But when did you know that you wanted to be a wrestler?
I mean, I think like most little kids who are into wrestling, your dream is to be a pro wrestler. For me, that dream sort of faded as reality struck me, you know, years later. And it didn't come back to me, and I didn't really get that desire and actually realize that it's a possible thing. Until, you know, as you know, going to PWF shows, which I'm very excited to hear that you guys are still or started running PWF shows again.
They're really good. Have you checked them out?
I have not. I must say I've been neglectful on that and checking out your
for eating while you're talking.
Yeah, yeah, that's all right. I'm drinking while I'm talking, too. So
Now you were in New Jersey. You and two other young guys were in New Jersey, and we were running in the western suburbs of Philadelphia. So I mean, it was a good two and a half hour ride when you were home. Really, yeah. The reality was you were in college at the time, and for you to come to a PWF show, it would take what, 5 to 6 hours?
Well, it would take I mean, it was kind of crazy. And if back then I didn't even think about it, it wasn't a big deal. You know, I had the little Jeep Wrangler and I had no problem driving from town to town, and I was excited to go from place to place. But you think about it now. Yeah, it would take 6 hours. I went to school in New Hampshire. I was in college in New Hampshire, and it would take 6 hours from New Hampshire to New Jersey, and then another 2.5 hours over to Pennsylvania. So yeah, about like 8.5 hours total drive, you know, each way.
So you guys could start coming to the shows and everything like that. And you approach, I want to say you approached me or you approached Dimension about doing the website and doing like a little promotional ad thing. Did you know going in there, like, hey, look, you know what? I can get my foot in the door if I do the website, do the ring and stuff like that. Because, you know, generally you start doing the ring and stuff like that. But when you would come, and we're talking 2002, 2003, you know, websites weren't, you know, for independent wrestling. It wasn't very high tech or anything like that, or as easy as it is today. I mean, it was a process. Did you know, like, oh, you know what? I have this tool that's going to set me apart from everybody else.
No, I didn't know that. Actually, I didn't have a grand plan. My goal originally was not to be going to PWF shows. I wasn't like, oh, I'm going to these shows, so now I can become a wrestler. I started going to the shows because a friend of mine was a fan of independent wrestling, and he knew you, you know, at least, you know, casually, and was a big fan and really liked PWF, and it convinced me to go to the shows. After going to the shows, you know, I think one of the things both you and I know is that fans, the number one thing a fan can have is just being acknowledged or being a part of the show, especially in an independent setting where there's just, you know, you're so close to the action and you start to build like sort of a kinship with the wrestlers and the people who go to the shows, and it becomes a part of a sort of a community. So, you know, that being said, after going to these shows over and over again and having a really good time and getting to meet some of the wrestlers and meeting some of the other people there, the only natural thing for me was, wow, if there's an opportunity for me to be involved, I might as well take it. And that's kind of how that started with the, you know, was taking some pictures. I had a nice camera that somebody had given me, got to take some cool pictures, got to talking to people, and kind of progressed from there.
Now, you were over with the locker room pretty quick. And I think one of the reasons that you were over with the locker room is you were just a normal guy. You weren't overly enthusiastic, or I always say the glad hand. Hey, brother. How you doing, brother? You know, I love your match, brother. You were just a regular guy. And I remember CW and Jack Victory immediately liking you. And
I mean, I wouldn't have known that. It took at least a year for them to actually let me know that. But of course, that would make sense, being the old school way. But I really enjoyed the shows, and I had never seen independent wrestling, and having not watched wrestling for a long time between being a kid and going to these PWF shows, I was sort of I thought this was just such a cool thing. I didn't even really know it existed. And so I really enjoyed going and really being a part of it, but I was never starstruck. I also didn't really know the history of ECW. I kind of came along in terms of watching PWF and independent shows a little bit after that happened. So, you know, I didn't necessarily know you that well in terms of what you had done. I knew a little bit about Jack Victory because he'd been around so long. I didn't really know CW, so I never got starstruck. I didn't have a goal. There was no goal. I wasn't looking for anything from anybody.
Now, you start off training up in right around the Boyertown, Pennsylvania area, Reading style. I'm sorry?
I said, oh, yeah.
Yeah, upstairs, you know, makeshift ring. And it was fun, the nice hard ring where you guys would learn. And you guys would come. What was it, usually like one weekend a month, right?
Yeah, I mean, if we could have done more, we would have done more. But usually that was the case.
And you would come 1 week in a month, and you guys would come all this way, you know, get a hotel room which in a shitty part of town that was like $60, way too expensive. And you guys were always there. And, you know, you started off having these little matches in a garage and stuff. But also at the same time, you guys were accompanying me to Ring of Honor. And, you know, this is like 2003, and you, Alex, and Evan were part of the famous debut of the streamers and the list, which I just did a couple weeks ago against Steve, and I brought it up for the first time in like 10 years. What impressions did you have of like Ring of Honor? Was it something like, oh wow, this is now a different style than PWF?
You know, everything just happened so fast. It was crazy. Like, I mean, and it's a testament to you too, because quite frankly, you could have chosen anybody. You could have chosen any well-established young guys, or really anybody would have been more than happy and thrilled to be doing that job of just being the young guys and coming out as an entourage and throwing streamers and just being a part of what at the time was really like an amazing show and a little spectacle of between 1,000 and 2,000 people. And it was fantastic. My impressions, you get this feeling, wow, I've hit the big time, and in a matter of no time, really.
Now, you've been wrestling less than a year. You get the call to do your first Japan tour. What's your thoughts?
God, that's a good question. I didn't know what to expect. You know, I remember, well, I should say, I went there with an expectation. You know, Japan, obviously, I have my ups and downs with Japan. I love Japan and I love Japanese wrestling, but I've had troublesome times on my two tours there, which sometimes I'd like to forget, and other times I like to remember just to keep me humble and you know, sort of keep my mind straight. But you know, that getting that first call, yeah, it was like within the first year that the call comes. Originally, I'm supposed to go there and train. I'm all for it. But I don't think I really understood what to expect and what was going to go on there. You know, the style of wrestling is so different. I was trained, as you know, in a really old school style. And I was a fan of an old school American style of wrestling. And it's very different over there. It's not that that doesn't necessarily work unless you're like a Ric Flair or some really well-known guy who has a very distinct style that everybody recognizes and it just works. You know, the young kid, the young, good looking blonde tan kid wearing the red trunks trying to work old school Southern style isn't going to fly there. And, I learned that the hard way when I went.
And it was such a different world because, yeah, originally the thing was I was told, too, that you were going to come over and train and stay in the dojo and do all this. And all of a sudden you're in the hotels and you're doing this and you're in, you know, big mat. You're in a cage match.
A few weeks before I flew over, it went from you're going to be here like 3 to 6 months to you're going to do this tour.
Yeah.
And pretty nerve wracking. It definitely didn't know what to expect.
Oh, now from there, you were doing different things and, we all hook up with a guy named Dale Gagne, who at the time was running the AWA. And when he had the AWA, it was basically an offshoot of the original AWA, but somehow he convinced everybody that he was a little, you know, he was the AWA, and we were part of it, and there was a lot of fun. And I think we're two guys that here in 2014 kind of still like Dale. We know he was carny and stuff like that, but we've had bad experiences with great experiences with him. But at the end of the day, we still kind of like the guy. I mean, I do, and I think you do too. What is your favorite moment about working with Dale?
Wow. I mean, I think I had a lot of great moments working with Dale. You and I winning the AWA tag titles was awesome. Getting to work, just getting to hang out and work with like a guy like Johnny Stewart is so much fun. I mean, because these guys are just, you know, Dale and Johnny, they're just characters within characters. But if I have to pinpoint a moment, which is one of the great moments of my career and my life, and I'll never forget it, was winning the AWA world title in Indianapolis in front of about 3,000 people, defeating Larry Zbyszko. It was just, as Larry said, oh my God, it's like 1988 again. And it really, for that little moment, it truly was like, you were stuck in a different time and people truly believed and, it was awesome. There's nothing like it.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I wish I was there for that one. For me,
I do especially too.
For me and you together, I think it was the time that we were in New Orleans working, the Patriot Tom Brandy and Dr. Death Steve Williams.
That was awesome. You just reminded me. That was awesome.
Yeah. And we had so much fun, you know, Doc was sick and, you know, but to him, he was still Dr. Death Steve Williams, and we were going to, you know, bump our ass off for him. And I remember he would throw these punches that, like, and nothing hurt. And it was it Brandy in the back that said, those fucking punches wouldn't break eggs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I specifically remember hitting Brandy with a tough knee and him just being pissed, like, yeah, the first minute of the match.
Yeah. And a guy that hits hard all the time, he was upset about it.
Yeah, but exactly.
Those are some great memories I have of that. And another great memory I have, and it was Court Bauer that just brought this up to me a couple weeks ago. He was talking about Gary Hart and the time that we were in MLW in Orlando. And he said, man, he goes, I was thinking about you today. He goes, it was your buddy Ricky that almost got killed by Loki and then the cops.
And, it was Atlas Security almost beat the piss out of me.
Right. And like, if you could tell the story, this is a great story.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is great because this is like very early in my career. I'm so green. I'm just like starting to figure stuff out. And of course, like you and CW and Jack were just like so good to me where, you know, although I was the young guy and I got smacked around a little bit. I always got treated like a young guy, which I, you know, to this day I believe is important. You also really protected me and involved me in stuff. And when I came down to Florida with you guys, somehow.
It was an awesome time, by the way.
Oh my God. I mean, there's stories within stories on this trip. this particular one, I was supposed, the plan, I'm trying to remember the guy's name, but the plan, I think there was a long-term plan to tag me with a guy and work a program against, I want to say it was Key and somebody else. And Homicide, that's right. Yep. They had this plan ready to go, and here's how we're going to do it. And coincidentally, they're being managed by Gary Hart, which was cool as hell. God rest his soul, Gary Hart was awesome.
And he took a quick liking to you, too, because when they came up with this angle, and it basically, if I remember this right, they came up with the angle of – these guys were going to bully young boys, and you guys were going to be the ones that would step up.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Was the kid's name Steve Madison?
I was just thinking it was either Steve Madison or Roderick Strong, but I think it was Steve Madison.
I think it was because we kind of looked a little bit alike, the blonde, the same sort of look. So the move there, they were going to come out, they're doing whatever they were doing in the ring. And low key's gonna walk around the ring, jibber jab with some people, a lot of gaga here and there, and I'm gonna be standing there, and he's gonna get in my face. I'm gonna be standing behind the rail as a fan, in just regular old clothes, dress clothes or whatever. I think I had a collared shirt on at the time, and this is like my first like real moment in wrestling, which is awesome. I think I actually have it on tape. I'll have to watch that if I can find a VCR somewhere. And the move was he was gonna talk a little trash to me, and he was gonna pie face me. And I had a beer in my hand. I throw the beer on him. He's gonna yank me over the rail. They're gonna beat the piss out of me. And Gary Hart came up with the cool angle of, we're gonna put the plastic bag over his head and basically hang him over the ropes, which was, I believe Terry did that, right? What was that?
Yeah, it was Terry.
So it plays off of Gary Hart and his time with Terry, which was cool too. So I'm super pumped for this. I think this is the greatest thing ever. We go ahead. It's all happening. The pie face, the beer. Here he comes pulling me over the guardrail. And here comes Atlas Security, bum rushing me back over the guardrail, picking me up, throwing me into a wall. They got my face. And Atlas Security, no matter how tough wrestlers want to say they are, Atlas Security is actually tough guys.
And they had no idea this whole angle was going on.
They never smartened them up to let them know what was happening. And they basically just kind of pummeled me outside the ring. I'm beat up. I leave the building to get away from them. I come to the back, and there's who was the agent? Who was the main agent there?
Probably Samu.
It was Sam. Yeah, that's right. It was Samu. Samu's going, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't tell anybody." And that was the thing. And either way, it looked awesome. And then MLW closed.
Yeah, right.
Right after that.
Shitty timing. Hey, Ricky. Still working every once in a while. You'll be down in PWF on Sunday, September 21st to Agent, which is going to be great, having you and CW in the back and teaching a lot of young guys. If anybody wants to get a hold of you, to book, how do they get a hold of you?
RickyLandell@gmail.com.
Very nice. Easy,
simple.
Right, it is. It's very easy. That's my wife. Hey, you haven't met my wife yet, right?
I have not. She's very pretty. Jordan. I don't know how you got her. It upsets me.
Yeah, thanks. Rub it in. Yeah, she knows. But yeah, I'd like to have you on again. If you'd like to be on, we'll talk a little bit more. Maybe we'll get into the MLW story of, Candido's, the CW, Randy the Sound Guy, and stuff like that. We'll tell some funny stories then.
I would love to do it again.
Awesome. Hey, that was Ricky Landell. When we come back, we're going to have some Twitter Q&A and, of course, some love. You're listening to the Steve Corino Show.
Makes you feel like What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week, you can join Marcus Vandenberg, Big Nasty Alfred Kunawa, and myself on the Kings of Sport podcast, available exclusively on PlaceToBeNation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, sports fans, this is Dr. G for Extra Point, Place to Be Nation's traditional sports talk podcast. Every episode, Scott Criscullo and I talk everything from the Big Four leagues to all the hot sports news with exclusive guests and analysts. Email us your comments and questions at extrapoint@placetobenation.com. That's the Extra Point, exclusively on placetobenation.com.
Hey, sports fans, Cowboy here. Make sure you make your weekly stop by the Sports Lounge here on placetobenation.com, where the boys and I tackle all the hot topics in the world of sports. We go behind the numbers and provide in-depth expert analysis on Major League Baseball, MMA, NFL, and more. The seats fill up quick, so grab your favorite cigar, kick back, and join us in the Sports Lounge, only on PlaceToBeNation.com.
In Rhode Island, and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. In a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Boneheads also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So, be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast, exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
On Return the Mailman, we talk about life with great enthusiasm, which eventually leads to disillusionment and inevitably hopelessness. But don't worry, there's lots of laughs along the way. So check us out every week or month or whatever on Richer and the Mailman.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, prowrestlingonly.com, Scott Keith blog at rspwfaq.net, and piledriverwrestling.net.
And now, time for some Twitter Q&A and a little bit of love with the King of Old School and Dan, too, on the Steve Corino Show. King, take it away.
Hey, we're back on the Steve Corino Show. Great interview with Ricky Landell. Every interview is great. I should be just an interviewer. Man, like I could be on 2020 or any of those news things. I could be on E. Interview those Kardashians that my wife loves so much. And she goes, I love them. but hey, it's time. Twitter Q&A and some love. Hey, do we got music this week?
I believe so. I talked to the man upstairs, and it sounds like this is a pretty cool bit we do. So, I don't know. We'll just have to see what they come up with this week. I'm really looking forward to it.
All right. Let's see. Let's give them the chance to throw it in. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Set. Go. I threw a wish in the well. Don't ask me. I'll never tell. I looked to you as it fell. Not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, not bad at all.
This is smooth. I really dig this. This is exactly what I want to hear heading into my weekend.
Smooth as that cinnamon roll vodka that you drank.
Oh, gosh. Why do you have to keep bringing that up?
Right? He drank cinnamon roll vodka. It does, yeah. He was trying to pick up a girl at the time.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Big mistake. Big mistake.
Hey, so we got some Twitter Q&A and some love. Dan, would you like to start?
Yeah, we got a lot of it. I think you calling out the fans a few weeks ago is really really hit home.
Yeah, you assholes.
To fight them off with a stick this week. We'll start with at Elliot Morey with an IE. He writes, at King Carino, what's the opening song on at Steve Carino show? Thanks. Love the show.
Well, thank you, Elliot Morey. The opening song is my theme song for Ring of Honor and Countless Independence. It is called Dirty Angel by Voodoo Johnson. Love it. It's one of my favorite entrance songs that I've ever had in my 20-year career. So definitely love it. You can pick it up on iTunes, and definitely a cool song. It was actually the Scum theme, too, and then I kept it. Now, our next question comes from David Yahoo. At Steve Carino show versus at the Damian Sandow, in my mind, would be a very entertaining story. Too bad it may never happen, though. What do you think? Well, I think you've left off a question mark. But me and Damian go way back to Puerto Rico days back in 2009. He'd come down when he was Idol Stevens. And we had teamed on many, many shows against Thunder and Lightning. You threw Chuck Guillotine LeGrand in there. It was a lot of fun. Never wrestled each other in singles. We were both heels at the time. But I had a great time. Real great guy. Real thinker out there. He's, you know, the whole Damian Sandow character and what he's been doing now. He really takes the thinking part of wrestling and makes it really work for him.
Let me ask you this. What do you a lot of people are saying, you know, maybe he's on the wrong side of the authority and this sort of thing. He's doing this crazy hokey gimmick where he's dressing up like things and just getting his ass beat. Some people look at it as him being shunted down the card. Others look at it on the opposite side, saying, hey, he's on TV every week. What more can you do? What do you think of his current role with the company?
I don't think he's in trouble at all. If he's in trouble, they would have starved him out. You know, they wouldn't put him on house shows or TV or anything like that. It's just a fun way to evolve his character. And I think if he was in trouble, they would keep him off TV.
Right.
He'd get JTG'd.
Right. Right. Follow-up question has nothing to do with it, but did you and Chuck talk about him crapping blue once?
Yes.
On this program?
My birthday cake that they ate while I was away, he crapped blue.
Now, anytime you see Damian Sandow, you'll think of someone crapping blue.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, you can check out that show. It's a few weeks ago. You might want to check that out with Guillotine LeGrand. Anyway, big fan of the show, at Steve J. Rogers, J.R. This is not going to be the last time we hear from him today. He writes, at DMcG4881, at Steve Carino Show, at King Carino, you guys should try to get at least at BQ Quinn from Impractical Jokers on your program. A lapsed fan, but was at some TNA shows in the past.
I love Impractical Jokers, and it's funny that I don't watch TNA just because I watch Impractical Jokers, and I watch it over and over and over again, and they'll play six episodes a night, and they'll be all reruns, but those four guys, whether it be Q or Joe or Sal or Murr, they're just so hilarious, and it's so hard to pick like a favorite. Jordan's is Sal, right?
Yeah, I love
that. Yeah, I think Murr and Joe are my favorites, but Q's been really awesome lately. So, man, I wish we could get him on the show. He did. He wasn't at the TNA shows. He was actually at the House of Hardcore shows.
Oh, okay.
Now we got DIVIRGILIO4 back. I. At Steve Carino Show, who's your favorite tag team ever? And hopefully I get to meet you, as I will be in ROH in Philly on Saturday. Wow, wow, wow. My favorite tag team ever, definitely the Rock and Roll Express. Whether it be the Rock and Roll Express, the Midnight Express, how did you do that? What? I don't have a flashlight, but me. Where?
Still on the iPhone 4, huh, Steve?
Get the hell out! What else do I have that I don't know of? I got a flashlight on the iPhone 4. I didn't realize that. I mean, that's not part of your answer, but man, I am excited. I don't know how I did that. Yeah, Rock and Roll Express, but I love tag team wrestling, whether it be the Rock and Roll Express, the Midnight Express. Going back to like some of the great Japanese tag teams, Masato Tanaka, Shinjiro Tani, Inoki Fujinami. I mean, I just love absolute tag team wrestling. The Fabulous Ones, the Road Warriors, Tully and Arn, so many great tag teams. I could watch a whole show of tag team wrestling.
Yeah, I was more of the late 80s. You know, there was a huge, very, very deep crowd of tag teams in the WWF at the time. And I just, you know, I couldn't help but like them all. It was really difficult to choose who my favorite was. You know, you kind of dabbled with everybody, whether it was the Hearts or the Brainbusters.
Right, I was leaving them out. Yeah, the Hearts, the Bushwhackers.
Right. You know, even teams that kind of just sort of came and went, whether it be like the Young Stallions, the Killer Bees, of course, the Strike Force, you know. So,
yeah.
If I had to pick one or two, I guess, you know, the Hearts and the Rockers, I was always a big fan of those guys, pretty much from the first time I saw them. But I also, kind of a dark horse, is Power and Glory. I actually really enjoyed the combination of Roma and Hercules at the time.
Oh.
And at one point, it actually spawned a really outside-the-box Halloween for myself and a friend of mine as we went as Power and Glory. Ma had like the puffy paints, and we made the shirts and everything, and we actually went to a house show wearing those shirts, and we bought the tag team titles that day. Unfortunately, they did not win. But anyway, long story short, big fan of Power and Glory. Really wish they did more than what they ended up doing.
Wow, I'm surprised. I think you're the first person I've ever heard that say.
Yeah. Justin Rosero's a big Power and Glory guy too. I don't know if he ever dressed up like them for Halloween, but
I might dress up like that before he goes to bed.
at Elliot Maury comes back with another question for us, Steve. He goes, have you ever watched Eastbound and Down? I think you'd love it. By the way, great podcast. Take care.
Well, thank you. I will take care. You know what? I haven't watched Eastbound and Down, and everybody tells me I would love it. But one of these days I'm going to. Is it on Netflix?
I don't know if it's on Netflix. I think it's certainly on like the HBO, HBO Go app, you know, like
yeah, we don't have HBO though.
They're on demand, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm definitely gonna check it out. I'm not a big fan of that guy though. So I will. What's his name? Danny McBride. Are you looking because I was having a beer?
24 ounces.
Well, they didn't have a 40. I thought that was very racist. It wasn't. I was going through, like, I just wanted a beer last week at the store, and I didn't want to get a six-pack, and, like, so I got two 24-ounce cans of Coors Light, but I really did want a 40. Just give me a 40. But apparently no black people live in our town, so they're very racist, and they don't think, like, white people like 40s. I like a good 40. I didn't want a 48 ounces. Yeah. I wanted 40.
You drank it.
Well, of course I drank it. I mean.
And that right there is how we went viral, that line right there.
Yeah, racist. Oh. All right, Fire Scott 6 writes, that's Steve Corino Show. Hey, Steve, did you ever wrestle for Dan Curtis in the NSWA Michigan at Wayne Ford Civic League? I saw Prazak, Reckless, .. No, I didn't. When I was doing indies before ECW, I wrestled for Wolverine Pro Wrestling, and I only remember this because I was on a show with Adam Pearce. It was the night that I met Adam Pearce. That was, holy shit, 15 years ago. Yeah, my God.
If he was asking me, I haven't wrestled for him either.
Yeah.
So there you go. At Fish Approved writes at Steve Carino Show, did you ever cross paths with Masato Tanaka? The guy was awesome, and other than ECW, should have got a break in America.
Well, only probably 150, 200 times in the ring, and I still talk to him on a weekly basis. Tanaka is one of my buddies. You know, we were friends in ECW because we were kind of like, you know, I was new, he was the outcast, going to 01 in 2001. You know, he was very easy to, you know, latch on to. So, you know, I've wrestled him, I've teamed with him. He's stayed at my house years ago. I just saw him in New Orleans. I was the liaison for the first one night stand for him. You know, I negotiated the deal with Dreamer to make sure that he was getting, you know, what was promised and stuff like that. So, you know, yeah, Tanaka's a good guy, in best shape he's ever been into. Like that's craziness. If you look at him now, he's in just such great shape, and 41 years old. I wish I was in half the shape that he's in.
Yeah, you know, other podcasts like to do their match of the week. I watched this match because I was doing a kind of research of 2005 for what's now actually come out, the 2005 SummerSlam Rewind that we did. Myself, Scott Criscolo, and Graham Cawthorn of the Great History of WWE website. In any event, one of the matches I did see was Masato Tanaka versus Mike Awesome from One Night Stand 2005, and it was phenomenal. I had no expectations going in. I was kind of going in blind, you know, because I really wasn't into the product at the time. But wow, that's 9 minutes well spent if you have a chance to watch that match.
And do you know, he hated wrestling Mike Awesome. Hated
really?
It.
I didn't know
because,
that.
You know, Mike was very dangerous, didn't care about hurting guys. You know, we talked about it with CW a little bit, but yeah, he hated working with Mike Awesome. If you saw some of his stuff that he's done with Jado and Gato, you know, when they were in FMW, or stuff against Shinjiro Otani in 01, the guy always steals the show, and he's amazing. And it's a shame that a lot of, you know, fans in the States just remember him for the Mike Awesome matches.
Well, I guess I'll have to watch a few more things. I didn't know I was kind of, I thought I was going outside the box there, but apparently I'm just, you know, status quo when it comes to you and Tanaka.
Yeah. My buddy. Hey, this one comes from Facebook. It's Matthew Wing Gentleman Parker. Dear Mr. Carino, it's well documented that you won the ECW Heavyweight Championship is what is referred to as a double jeopardy match. To your knowledge, has there ever been any other matches of this type? What were your personal feelings on the concept and how it went off? And how would you go about booking one of these matches if you were to do a main event of a WWE pay-per-view? This one was tough. For people that don't know, when I had won the ECW World title in 2000, it was in a match called Double Jeopardy. Basically, it is two singles matches in one. So it's a four-way, but I could only pin the Sandman. Sandman could only pin me. Justin Credible could only pin Jerry Lynn. Jerry Lynn could only pin Justin Credible. Then the winners would fight in the same ring right away. So you basically had two matches going on at once. And we came up with doing both of the first finishes at the same time, so there wasn't that little lapse. It would definitely be a hard match to do again without, you know, having somebody wait in the corner for a minute or two or five while the other guys were doing. But I definitely think it would be plausible. I know that Paul really wanted the Double Jeopardy match to be a yearly thing for November to remember. This was going to be like first one. So it would be hard, but you know, Paul knows how to do it. Dan, it looks like some love time.
Yeah, definitely. We start off with one of our favorites, at T-Dog, HG. And this actually spawned a really long conversation with you guys on Twitter, so you're going to have to give me the background here. He said, learned on the Steve Carino show that at Alex Agerinos is at King Carino's favorite Greek pro wrestler, hashtag the list. Please explain what's going on here. And secondly, do you realize that you're probably your favorite Greek co-host on a podcast is yours truly, Dan McGinn?
You know what? It's funny. I forget we even mentioned Alex. I know Alex will be coming in for the Legacy Cup in PWF on September 21st. He's good talent, good-looking kid. But I'm trying to think. I'd have to go back and see what caused that. A lot of good Greek wrestlers out there. You know, there's a guy that I was just on tour with this past week. His name was Chiku Suave. And he's really, really good. So, I have to go back and listen. I'll have an answer next week.
Hey, if you want to go to a great, great Grecian festival, you got to come up to Marlboro, Massachusetts for Labor Day weekend, my man. We got the Greek festival going. It kind of culminates with the big Labor Day parade up here. It's phenomenal. If you like, if you like kebabs, you like lamb, you like baklava sundaes, it's the place to be, if you will.
No lie, I was just telling my wife, was it yesterday or the day before, that we want to go to Greece one day.
They need the supplemental income from tourists these days, so
I need a promoter to pay for our tickets first. Yeah, so okay, Steve Rogers, JR. Don't mean to be creepy, but I thought of your love of the minors when I saw this book, Link for the Cradle of the Game, Baseball at Ballparks in North Carolina. Ooh.
Do you want to know more about this book?
Huh?
I opened up the link. I was going to tell you all about this book if you wanted to hear about it.
I do.
All right. So it's by this fellow by the name of Mark Cryan. It's only, if you have a Kindle, it's only $7.99.
I do have a Kindle.
You do?
Yeah, why is that surprising?
No, it's not surprising. I'm just saying.
Jordan bought it for me. What? At my Kindle.
Just making conversation.
It's in my book bag. I was reading it today. I was rereading I Hope They Still Serve Beer in Hell. Yeah.
Great book.
Awful book.
So this book, if anybody's interested, and perhaps we'll download it ourselves, it's Cradle of the Game. It's the glory of North Carolina baseball, past and present. It's a richly detailed edition. It's a comprehensive volume, explores minor league and leading college ballparks, large and small. The Tar Heel State has been a special place in the baseball world. It's a place where affiliated teams play at almost every level, from rookie ball to AAA, and college players compete for the NCAA in the Coastal Plain League. So it is... pretty extensive. Some of the highlights of the book include interviews with longtime minor league executive Miles Wolf, as well as legendary and World Series champion manager Jack McKeon, reflecting on his career. So I don't know.
Check that out. Yeah, Coastal Plains League is where, you know, that's where we go to the games. So I'll definitely have to check that out. Cradle of the Game on Kindle.
Yeah, and Steve Rogers happened to leave us a link, so if you go to the at Steve Carino show, I think we retweeted it. If we did not, we probably should, but since we're giving this book all this free pub. But sounds interesting, and it's right in your backyard, my friend.
Oh, absolutely. I like it. Hey, dissing Rob Dimension time, hashtag what a turd. Now, this asshole sends me a tweet earlier, because he was going to see Guardians of the Galaxy. Instead of, like, planting a tree or doing something that, you know, could help mankind, he goes and sees Batista's movie again because he doesn't work and he's just a fucking loser. So he wrote something, and I wrote something back, and then he goes, there's no singing snowman either. There's a dancing tree. Maybe you would like it. And I got hot. You can't talk about my singing snowman like that. And I wrote back at Rob Dimension, how dare you? Olaf is kind, gentle, and likes warm hugs. You're disgusting, douchey, and have hairy balls. That's right, Rob Dimension. Hashtag, you're a turd. Oh, hate him. I think I'm going to stop being friends with him. Jordan, I think that's it. No more friends with Rob. She says that all the time. Hey, this week I'm going to be in Philadelphia. I'll be there Friday night for a wedding. And then Saturday, Ring of Honor will be at the National Guard Armory in Philadelphia. I will be there calling the action with one Kevin Kelly. It'll be a great show and a great time. And it should be a fun ride going up there. We're going to take my brother brother-in-law and sister-in-law. So it'll be the five of us going up there. And it should be fun. A lot of baseball talk. My brother-in-law is a big baseball fan. So, yeah, the girls will be going crazy in the back, and the boys will be talking about baseball and, you know, talking about man things. And what do you got going on, Dan?
This weekend, not a whole lot. Probably hoping that this dog that I just acquired learns how to take a dump outside. So that's one thing I might be up to. Kind of taking it easy. I had a really good weekend last weekend. Kind of did the whole Boston tourism thing. Went on trolleys and went on tours and, you know, kind of acted like a tourist because my friends from St. Louis were in town. So I think I might take it easy this time around. Maybe do some house training for the pup.
Very nice.
Hopefully. Try not to drink anything that's cinnamon roll flavored and alcoholic.
Honey, you gonna get liquored up on Friday at the wedding?
Hell yeah,
I am. Hear that? She gave a hell yeah. Hey, you can follow me on Twitter at King Carino. Also follow the PWF. We got a show coming up on August 22nd. Our Twitter is at PWF Legacy. The website, www.prowrestlingpwf.com. Also my website, www.worldofcarino.com. Make sure you get there. Don't forget prowrestlingtees.com/Steve Carino to order some Steve Carino shirts. It'd be freaking awesome. Dan, plug away, baby.
Oh, lots of plugs this week, let me tell you. If you haven't taken a listen to the Steve Carino Show episode 14, do so. Greg the Hammer Valentine was fantastic. Right now, if you look on the right-hand corner of course, maybe by Friday it won't be, but for as of this moment, as I'm talking, it's the top popular post at Place to Be Nation right now is the Greg the Hammer Valentine interview, so you want to check that out. Speaking of interviews, this week, Kevin Kelly will talk to, if you're familiar with Boston Sports Radio, it will be WEEI's own Dale Arnold from the Dale and Holly Show. He will be joining Kevin Kelly and Justin this week as part of the very new episode of the Kevin Kelly Show. I also appeared on another podcast. We alluded to it earlier. It was the SummerSlam Rewind series. Part one was SummerSlam 2005. It was myself, Graham Cawthorn, and Scott Criscolo talking about Hogan and Heartbreak Kid and Ray and Eddie. It was a fun show to do, and I hope you take a listen to that, kind of getting us out of our normal Steve Carino Show ways. And I think, Steve, you're in on this series as well, so more on that down the road. Hopefully yours comes out pretty soon. Also, the Raw recap, I've started doing that up again every Monday. It's painstaking. It's very difficult to sit and watch and write for 3 hours, but heck, someone has to do it. So hopefully you guys are checking that out as well. All that and much, much more at placetobenation.com.
Sounds good. Hey, we'll be back next week with another guest. We'll reveal it on the Twitter machine sometime this week. But I want to thank you for listening. On behalf of myself, Dan McGinn, this was The Steve Carino Show.
Thank you for listening to The Steve Carino Show. Download the new episode every Friday at placetobenation.com.
This cat of the slum had a mind and wasn't dumb, but a weakness was shown, cause his hustle was wrong, his mind was his own.